Go.
Yo, 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 yo.
Oh my gosh.
Welcome, everyone.
Yeah, welcome.
To Vanderpump Rules Party.
Yeah, welcome to Vanderpump Rules Party, you guys. We have a little bit of a different setup today. I'm Holly Borquez.
I'm Sarah Fee.
And Sarah is on the phone right now, and I'm on the phone with her too, but so we're doing it over the phone today, which is a little different for us, but we're bringing it to you guys.
Yeah, first time for us. We've done phone interviews obviously before, but never ourselves, so hopefully this is the only time we have to do this. I have rearranged any future travel. Oh wait, there's Vegas at the end of the month, end of April though, so that's a long time away.
Yeah, that's good.
That's annoying. That big show. Actually, well, we'll figure it out. Anyways, so yeah, hopefully this sounds okay for everyone.
Yeah,
so what's going on?
Yeah, not much. Let's do a little social media recap and then jump into the epi.
Based on the intro, the song For You, La Kent, Lauren Birmingham, as she corrected me on Twitter, I had posted out Lauren Birmingham, and she's like, "Hun, it's Birmingham, and Kent is her dad's name." So that's kind of cool. I guess I like that she changed her last name to her dad's first name. And I like that she tweeted me.
Yeah, I never knew that. So that was like a really good piece of trivia.
Yeah. So she won both on Twitter and Facebook for the song against Good as Gold, Get Loose by James, or Grind for the Check by Mike Shea, which I was really pulling for.
Aw, poor Mike Shea.
Can't win them all.
Yeah.
He did beat Sheena, though. So.
Yeah. He's got that going for him.
The other poll we did was, which bar would you want to see if not Tom Tom, Peter, Jaxxed, The Witch's Coven, or The Max? Now, I know how you feel, Holly. I know what your answer is.
I voted for The Max.
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
Peter won kind of by a landslide on Twitter, but in the Facebook group, The Witch's Coven won.
Okay, when I saw that The Witch's Coven was pulling ahead in the Facebook group, which if you guys haven't joined the Facebook group, you've got to join. It's so much fun. We have 400 members now, which I am just freaking out about. And it's just the best. But The Witch's Coven, like once you, like is there, we need to open a bar named that. That's amazing. Yeah. It sounds so good.
And you could have like cool potions and dry ice smoky, like, you know, you could drink.
Yeah, serve the drink in a cauldron. It'd be amazing.
Yeah. You know, I think we only need 25 grand, right?
Yeah, I can come up with that.
Okay. So that was interesting that they won. I forgot what I was going to say about that. Oh, well. So... anything else? We'll jump into a few things that have been happening this week, and then we're going to get right in the episode. Where our goal is to make it a little bit shorter this week, just, you know, switch it up. So, I listened to Sheena's podcast this morning, and she had Robbie on from The Bachelor, and they are not actually dating. They just, like, tease that they are. But she basically said they're kind of each other's backup plan, like, you know, that movie with, Cameron, the wedding, whatever.
Yeah.
So they just are best friends. Her, Robbie, and Spots Megrim are like best friends. I guess Spots Megrim and Robbie went to college together. And I know she says it's Spot Megrim, but it's not. It's Spots Megrim.
Yes. So. Totally.
She says she thinks Adam is the best looking guy on VPR or at Sir. And that he's single and straight. Now, I was shocked by that because when we looked him up, his IG screams to me.
Wait, sorry, it cut out a little bit right there. It screams what?
That he's gay.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because, I got the same feeling as well.
Yeah, because all of his posts are like posts, selfies, and usually, you know, a gay man can get away with that, but if a straight man posts it, then it's kind of like egotistical. It's, but you know, it's very on theme with Robbie and Sheena, so I guess that does make sense.
Yeah, and I don't know, I'm like on, I don't know that I find him as attractive as Sheena is selling him. Like, I mean, by all standards, yeah, like on paper, yes, like everything about him is perfect, but there's something, he doesn't make me swoon. Yeah. I don't know, he just, I don't see it. Maybe I need to see him in person again.
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely make an argument for like early years Jax was, you know, better looking.
Yeah, and he seemed kind when, you know, he was in this scene this week. So, I don't know.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was all on that podcast. It was a little interesting. They talked about The Bachelor and behind the scenes. So, that's kind of interesting if you're into The Bachelor. I don't know. Jury's out on her podcast. She definitely took a few of Stassi's sponsors away from her. So, you kind of have to chuckle at that.
Yeah, I do think it's annoying, though, that, like, she walks into sponsors. You know, like, most people right. have to, like, kind of build up. Like, she's on episode 2, and she already has, like, a ton of, you know, it's like she walked into a very big podcasting yeah. company. So that's kind of annoying.
Did you hear what she said when she said she went to see the Backstreet Boys, and she was blown away that she can remember all the lyrics from songs from 15 years ago. And she's like, I don't know how, but I can. And I'm like, well, that's interesting, because last week you said you couldn't remember the lyrics to Good as Gold. And so you had to listen to it. I'm like,
That's very strange. I would hope that I could remember all of my lyrics versus the Backstreet Boys. But
Backstreet Boys.
I think that's how it goes. You like remember those, you know, annoying poppy songs, but hers is annoying and poppy too. So I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, so I want to talk about Billy Lee a little bit. So okay. I learned from someone posted, again, in our private Facebook group posted, they found out they were, Billy Lee used to be best friends with Leighton Meester, a.k.a. Blair Waldorf, which is kind of funny since Stassi's obsessed with Blair Waldorf, and that they were so close that Leighton Meester actually even paid for some of Billy Lee's surgeries.
So I heard about this, and when I read that article, I thought that's so cool. It's really an interesting friendship that I would have never guessed.
But you know what's interesting is I don't think they're friends anymore.
What?
Yeah, Michaela looked it up because she follows Leighton Meester, so she knew that they were friends because she saw like a post of them a long time ago.
Uh-huh.
But she noticed that Leighton does not follow Billy Lee anymore, but used to, and Billy Lee does not follow Leighton. So I think something happened there.
That's weird. I wonder what, yeah, that's very strange.
And I guess Leighton hates, like, reality TV and everything. So, you know, we thought maybe she just wanted to distance herself since she's on VPR now, but kind of weird that Billy Lee wouldn't follow Leighton. So I think there's a fallout.
Yeah, that happens, and even though you're grateful to your friend, unfortunately, that does happen sometimes.
Yeah.
I tried to do a deep dive on Billy Lee this week because I wanted to see, like, if I could find more of her transformation to see, you know, what she looked like in the past and how far yeah. she's come. Oh, my gosh. If you guys have time, scroll through her Instagram all the way to the beginning because it only goes back – I mean, I think it's 5 years or something, but she didn't. I mean, you can do it. Like, if you take 2 minutes to scroll, you can get all the way to the bottom. She looks so different from.
Really?
Yes, from just like her hair color to her, the shape of her face to like her nose. I mean, you can just tell. I mean, she looks very, very different. And I think that she should be very proud of the way she looks, too. Like, I mean, it's really an amazing transformation.
Huh. Okay. I'm going to check that out.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, like, it's crazy how someone's face shape can change. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah. I thought that, too, when she was, like, in the bathtub. Like, funny how, like, your entire, like, leg shape and body shape can change from a man into a woman. And I thought about like the facial hair thing too. Like, I mean, do hormones take care of that so you don't have facial hair anymore? Like, I don't know.
I have so many questions too. Like, it's so, yeah, it's like she is, Yeah, I don't know. I'm like questioning my own like hairiness. You know, it's like, yeah, it's like, wow. Like, I mean, she looks really, really good.
Maybe she got laser with the girls.
Yeah, maybe.
So the other thing I posted in the Facebook group is I was watching her Billy Lee's IG story. Very reminiscent of like Sheena's snaps, like lots and lots of like selfie pose, duck lippy, you know, it was a lot. So there's that.
Yeah.
The other thing I forgot to mention about Spots Megrim, a.k.a. Adam Paul Scott, I read this article that someone posted, I think from his hometown. He's from, like, a really small town. And they did an article on him. And it sounds like he was basically cast in Vanderpump Rules rather than hired as a bartender. He said he came to L.A. and was doing modeling jobs, and then he applied for this one gig, and then he was... they took him. The way it sounded is like he was cast. And they said, so they started him as a bar back and then sent him to bartending school and then upgraded him to a bartender. And I thought, why would a restaurant send someone to bartending school, you know, unless they really wanted him as a cast member?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like, I don't think they sent Jeremy to bartending school, and he's been busing, what, for 2 years and just made the upgrade to bar back?
I don't think that Jax has even gone to bartending school.
Well, that's clear.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's very interesting.
Yeah. So just little bits, Randall was out to dinner with Jonathan Cheban. So that made a whole lot of sense to me, and I had a giant ew moment because really don't like me of God, Jonathan Cheban. Can't ever that guy. Like, he drives me insane. And they were at Craig's, by the way.
Yeah, I saw that. He also went out to dinner with Corinne from The Bachelorette or The Bachelor.
Really? That's weird.
Yeah. I thought that was strange. I was like, I wonder if Megan Granger knows about that.
Starts dating her and drops Lala.
Oh, my God. No, oh no, I'm sorry. Jonathan went to dinner with Corinne. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Got it. And then I think Stassi and her new beau, took a little road trip up to Big Sur. This part I found funny because, like, most people know there's, like, a huge mudslide, rock slide, and much of number one PCH is closed up there. So they get all the way there. Basically, I'm sure they were a couple miles away because they were at the Hearst Castle. And then they realized they couldn't get to their hotel, you know, proper Big Sur, because the road's closed. So there's only two ways, and they had to backtrack 4 hours. And then they ran out of gas. So the whole thing sounded like a disaster because it already takes, like, 8 hours to get up there. So when you have to backtrack 4 hours, that's a nightmare.
Ugh, yeah. I was kind of impressed that they went there. That seems like out of Stassi's comfort zone as well. Like to like,
you know what?
Take a road trip.
Yeah. It seems very much up his alley of it's the cool hipster thing to do or want to go do.
Totally, totally. Like he saw it in a movie and he's reenacting it.
Yeah. So that's all I really have. I mean, T. Sandy's been in New York with his dad, and his dad was, someone pointed out, is a DILF, and he was singing karaoke, and he's got a really good voice.
Really?
Yeah, T. Sandy Sr.
So the singing, the love of karaoke runs in the family.
Yeah. And then they met up with Anthony, who we were just talking about a couple weeks ago, you know, when Lauren, the hostess, slept with James Kennedy and made all those scratch marks on his back a couple seasons ago.
Yes, yes.
And Lala, yeah, her boyfriend Anthony at the time that she had cheated on. So he had moved to New York and opened up his own bar called The Anthony. So they hooked up with him.
Yeah.
And then we saw him on Watch What Happens Live, Tom and Billy Lee.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
crazy.
That's all I really have. Anything you have?
No. Yeah, nothing of importance, I don't think.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Okay, let's
get right into the epicenter of the show.
What was this episode titled? I missed it. Did you get it?
I did, but I already forgot.
Okay, I'll look it up. Okay, so this episode starts out at Tom and Ariana's apartment, and Ariana is saying that, you know, she just had to shave really close because she is getting laser on her vag.
And that it hurts
to shave that closely, she was saying, right?
Yeah. Like, I didn't understand, like, did the shaving process hurt, or was it, like, putting clothes on and then, like, having a reaction or something? I don't know. It's a little, I didn't need to visualize it, but
I also, like, T. Sandy was confused. I thought that you wanted a little hint of a hair so they could get the hair. Like,
yeah, I mean, I went to an appointment where they all used to go up in, like, the valley called the Blue Salon or something, and that's what they told me to do.
Because, whenever you see someone get their, like, armpits done, like, they grow it out a little bit. It's disgusting looking. They're like, oh, I'm getting laser. Even on the Kardashians, yeah. Kendall was like, I'm getting laser. Remember? And, like, Kimmy K was, like, going to try to shave it. She's like, no, I'm getting laser. She's like, oh, okay. Like,
yeah.
So exactly. I was so confused. Like, I would be the type that they're like, okay, shave as close as you can, and then you'll have, like, a successful laser treatment. And they'd be like, ooh, like, I'd be like, this didn't seem to work very well. They're like, well, you didn't shave close enough. You know, I could totally see it being, like, a problem.
Yeah, totally.
But I have to say, I have always wanted to get laser done down there because it is such a pain shaving, like, your bikini line and everything. So I could see why the girls are doing it.
Yeah, I was inspired when I saw, because they posted all the time, Sheena and Ariana. And I'm like, all right, if they can do it. So I just gotta do it.
Yeah, I don't think I'm gonna do it. I don't know. And waxing is just as horrible too. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I refuse to do that. I mean, that sounds like excruciating, screaming pain. And then you have to keep doing it every month. Like, what's the point in that?
I don't know.
Like, people used to say, I used to rep the Epilady, like, demo it, and people would be like, it's like excruciating pain. And I didn't think it really hurt that bad. But, I mean, you don't have to do it, like, every 6 weeks. And, I don't know, waxing seems like it's a lot more painful than the Epilady was.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
don't know.
Tom's talking about how successful he thinks this Vegas trip was. And he's like, oh, maybe it's because I felt so productive. I mean, like, what did you do, actually? You looked at some plates and then got, like, sent away to the kids' table. But, okay.
We'll yeah. Yeah. I think they are just so, like, it's, like, they really are just so excited to be working on a project that is, like, quote-unquote theirs. Yeah. And, yeah, but I thought it was funny, too, how he was, like, spinning it to be like, well, I think it was good, except for Lisa did almost kick us out. You know, I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
And
that's,
yes,
really all that was. And then we go to the magical scene of James's dad visiting. So I'll let you go ahead with that. Thoughts?
I don't know. I had, like, a range of emotions with his father. At first I was like, aw. And then I was like, I don't know. Yeah, so James and Raquel, they're at Sir, and he's like, I've got to put my jacket on for my dad. I want to impress him. It's his first visit after the divorce, and so the dad comes rolling in, and I don't know.
I thought he seemed drunk. I felt like he was slurring. Well, maybe he just talks like Ken. They're like, you know, like when the Crappens, I love when the Crappens guys do Ken. They're like, oh, sweetheart.
Yes.
That's kind of how his dad was talking. So I don't know if it's an English thing or if he was drunk.
Yeah, the first time I watched the episode, I didn't have I always watch things with the subtitles. And the second time I watched it, I put it on and then I could understand more. But it, yeah, I had a hard time understanding him, and I just couldn't stop looking at him because I was trying to find James Kennedy in him. You know, like, I was trying to, like, see the relation, and his teeth were throwing me off, of course. But
I couldn't see James at all.
I couldn't either, and it was really the whole thing. Yeah, I don't know. It was really, I was confused, but I also really noticed, and, you know, more in the next scene coming up with his dad, but that James really cares about what his dad thinks and trying to impress him and, yeah. you know, showing him that he's a man. He's the man. He's a man. You know, it was a little bit sad for me. I felt like,
yeah,
I don't know. I got I wrote down macho. Like, I felt like James had to, like, kind of project, like, macho-ness in front of his dad. And his dad was kind of, like, questioned, like, you know, especially when it came up about, like, are you going to drink? And then Raquel
yeah.
kind of checked him. Like, you could tell his dad wanted to say, like, what are you, like, a pussy? You know, like, he...
Right, like, you're going to let her tell you what to do, but props to her for... keeping it together.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, like everyone has kind of said, like, she totally talks to him like a toddler. You know, she's like, okay, I just needed to make sure that you heard me. Eyes on me. 1, 2, 3, you know? But she, I mean, I didn't think she humiliated him at all. I thought she was just reminding him.
Yeah, exactly. And he had a moment where he thought about it and he's like, yep, you're right. You're totally right. And then Lisa walked in and she kind of explained the background. I thought it was interesting that she said Andros used to be, like, the man about town, like, implying he got a lot of action. And I was just like, how? But I guess, you know, if you're a DJ, you know, it's like if you're in a band, it doesn't matter. Like, you're going to have, you know, you're going to be able to get
okay,
girls.
So I'm confused about, was he George Michael's, like, talent agent?
It's his cousin, and it was his manager for many years until they had a falling out.
Okay, okay.
Also his, like, cousin.
Okay. So, I never really, like, followed George Michael's career, but, I mean, he's, like, a god, right? Like, if you're in his circle, you are famous, right? Like, so if he was running around town, like, being known to be associated with him.
Yeah, like, the modern-day Elton John, especially over there.
Yeah. So I would assume that that's why that guy, his ego was like that. I don't know. Yeah, I was thrown off by that.
Yeah, part of the entourage that benefits from being, around George Michael. Especially since George Michael didn't want any of the women, you know? So it was like all the more for Andros, I'm sure.
Yes, yes. I did feel like I saw a little bit of James Kennedy in his father when he was like, to Lisa, he's like, he's the governor. And Lisa's like, no, I'm the governor. He's not the governor. You know, but he was like still like he was like James Kennedy-ing her. It was funny.
Yes.
So
that's all really happened there. And then we go over to Hooters.
Okay, yeah. So the Hooters birthday party. The first thing that I was thinking of was, where is this located? I used to live in downtown LA. I lived there for 4 years, and there was not a Hooters at the time when I was living there. So this is new newer. I haven't been there in a while.
But I never saw it either, and I worked down there for 10 years.
Yeah, so it's on Figueroa, right there in the action area. And so Brittany's kind of like setting up the party, and does she do a little confessional explaining why she's doing it, or does Stassi do her flashback? I feel like...
Stassi is like, I don't know why I'm coming to town. And she's like, Jack's shit on the outside and I drank his crystal. So there was that flashback. But I had a question on what are your thoughts on Brittany's crop top with a rose on each boob?
I'm embarrassed to say I kind of liked it. I actually made a note in my head saying that I liked it. I mean, no, it's ridiculous. Like, it made me like LOL a little bit, but I like it.
My theory was, this is the one time she's not wearing a giant deep V cleavage top, but so she's really worried that people aren't going to know she has boobs. So she thought, okay, let me wear something that accentuates each boob with a flower in each boob, so that people just know they're still there.
Oh, I guess I didn't think of it like that. But yeah, you're right. I guess, like, I think it's like a personal issue for me. Like, I feel like I missed the bandwagon with like possibly wearing like an embroidered rose on like a jacket or my jeans, you know, because that was kind of like a last year trend. Even Jeremy, when we interviewed him, showed up with pants with that rose on it.
Right.
I feel like I missed that trend. So when I saw it, I was like, ooh. But yeah, I think it was like a personal thing for me. So the party looked fun. And
I mean, I kind of laughed that she had like this giant bouquet of balloons. I'm like, first of all, he's a man. Like, what men really care about balloons? Same all, he's 38. Like, and how many, and like, what a pain to drive downtown in her car with all the balloons. Like, is that really necessary?
I agree. And but and the
you're a balloon fan, so.
I am a balloon fan, but it's also like an embarrassing like problem that I have, like, because I feel like it does add to like the party like scene, and if you have no other decorations it helps, but it those numbers are expensive, you know, it, like that was probably like a $50 bouquet that she bought, you know, so it's like, yeah, it's a waste of money. No one really cares. And, you know, everyone is, you know, so hateful about balloons for the environment. So it's kind of like an embarrassing thing. Like, I'm ruining the environment and I care about what things look. I don't know. It's.
Yeah, I get the decor thing. And but I think, you know, the environment thing. But also, like, if you have a kid's party, like, the people that really are into balloons and appreciate the balloons, then fine. Then they can accept
or,
it for their kids.
Or just get him the 38 if she had to do it. Like, yeah, doing the other stuff was, like, excessive. If she had to do something, like, yeah, it was funny. So everyone rolls into the party and,
Oh, I know what you were saying in her confessional. She's like, yeah, my mama told me, you know what, everyone's wondering why I'm making a big deal about his birthday, but my mama told me if I'm going to stay with him, I better commit and I better give him the best birthday party I can give him, you know. You can just hear, like, Sherry's advice, and she's like, hon, I already told everyone you were going to marry Mr. Jax Taylor. Jax Taylor's going to be my son-in-law. Girl, you better give him a nice party and keep him around.
Yeah, like, when Brittany said this, I just got the feeling that, like, if we could talk to Sherry in that moment, she would say, that's not what I meant. Like, I didn't mean that she should, you know, that she has to keep being so, like, such a servant to Jax. You know, like, it came off so, like, it's like, don't put that on your mom, Brittany. Like, own it. Like, if you want to, like, kiss Jax's ass and do all this stuff for him, like, it's on you. Like, don't blame it. Like, your mom brought you up to treat everyone like that. Like, give me a break. I don't know. I didn't like that part. It bugged me.
Yeah.
So, overall, again, like, the part, like, you know, there was the same faces at the party. I noticed some, I noticed Jesse Montana was there. I recognized a lot of people who were there. Yeah.
I just liked, I thought it made perfect sense. For me, the show came full circle, and we can just probably go to the finale of the series now, because it came full circle to me when Jax is like, this is so much a part of my childhood. My dad brought me here when I was 15. And I'm like, well, sir, the puzzle has now been solved. This explains everything. I feel like Darth Vader just revealed his mask, and we all now can understand Jax Taylor a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah. And then, like, as he's saying that, he's like, yeah, I loved it from the second I came. It, like, flashes right onto some girl's butt with, like, those little orange shorts they wear.
Right.
So I missed the lead-up part to this. I just wrote under boob sweat.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming it was warm in there and Stassi had some sweat.
Let's think about it. It's like early July and it's downtown, which is very hot. It's inland. And so, yeah, so Stassi was complaining about under boob sweat. And Katie chimed in saying she can, like, oh, I can hold a pencil under my boobs. And Stassi's like, I can hold a family of rats. And then get the best, you know, on theme, on fleek cameo, Rachel out loud with sound.
She yeah. Sound. Oh my God. I wrote that in my notes too. Like, we got to, like, Rachel's mic was on when she laughed. They threw her a bone.
But later, not so much, but we'll get to that. But yeah, it's like, ooh, there she goes. Maybe she gets her SAG card now, because she had, you know, sound coming out of her mouth.
I noticed that Kate Casey tweeted Rachel O'Brien and said, did you enjoy having your birthday at Hooters? And so is Rachel's birthday the same as Jax's birthday?
You know what it probably is? Because I know it's right around Stassi's, so...
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Because I thought, that would suck to have to go to Hooters to watch Jax romp around in his romper and, you know, and only get, like, to hear, like, a laugh from yourself. Like, I would go... Like, I feel like I saw some people in the background more than I saw Rachel. You know what I mean? Like they, I kept seeing their faces, and I didn't see Rachel's as much as that.
Right. She did get one more shot, and they pan over it, and it was her and Jax talking. But again, her mic was muted.
Oh, I did see that. I did see when she was talking to Jax. I thought they were going to do some sort of like throwback to their relationship or something, but they didn't.
Yeah, and they didn't. And this is why I love production.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, again, like people ask, like, what would your dream interview be? And like, what would you ask? I really think that my dream interview would be with someone from production that would like spill it about like,
yeah,
what they do, because it's good.
Well, there's Jeremiah. I think he's Stassi's producer. We got to find the one that did Lala that called her out on the leg spreading.
Yeah, totally. Okay, so the next scene is pretty iconic. Sheena confronts Jax.
Yeah.
And so she goes up to him in like classic Sheena fashion. When I saw this scene, I actually had like major deja vu for when, like, I felt like Sheena approached Jax in this same exact way. What I'm trying to think of now, I'm blanking on the scene, but like I literally can see the scenes line up, and it's like she was standing in the exact same position. Oh, when she went up to James and Raquel and she's like, so when that whole never mind, I'll bring it up in the group. I'll have to get my thoughts together, but it seriously lined up like being the exact same scene. But anyways, Sheena says, hey Jax, you know, I wanted to talk about what you have been saying about Rob, and you know that he's been about the I love you thing. And Jax, like being like the classic D that he is like, has he said I love you yet? And poor Sheena's face is like, absolutely, yeah, like it's so bad. Like I was just sitting there like cringing.
Yeah. And then when she's like, you know, are we going to get married? No. I mean, like, not as soon as, like, I want to. And he's like, stop. That's it. That's it right there. And he does have a point there.
He does. And she, you know what? She just doesn't know when to stop. She doesn't know when to stop. And the things that she say, like, that's not going to win her argument. And I don't know why in her head she thinks that it will. It's very strange.
I got... like, her confessional killed me, because now we have one more thing to the list. So, Rob doesn't kiss me. He's not a kisser. Rob doesn't date like that, or Rob doesn't talk like that, or we didn't say I love you. We didn't love you, like, too much. Like, it's not, it doesn't mean as much as when you don't. And I'm like, Sheena, okay, what does Rob do then? Like, how are you guys in a relationship? Because you don't kiss, you don't, like, verbally or physically... be affectionate. Like, do you have sex? Or Rob's not a sexer. Or I'm thinking, like, I don't know, does he call you, or does he text you, or does he DM you? And I can just hear me like, Rob is not into social media. He's not a DMer. And Rob doesn't call me because he doesn't have the time. Like, what do you guys do? What happens in your relationship? Because you're now having a big checklist of things that Rob doesn't do.
You know, I feel like I can peg Rob. Like, this actually gave me like a little, I had a feeling about him, but this gives me more insight. He, Rob mind fucks her. He tells her that she is special because he doesn't call her. Like, I bet you anything, he tells her, like, listen, I'm thinking about you while I'm working on my show, but I can't call anyone. But if I could call someone, I would call you, but don't call me until I feel like he strokes her ego and then gives an excuse why he won't do what she wants and makes her feel special for like shitting on her. I don't know how to describe it, but I know this person. I don't know. I feel like, so when she comes out trying to make that argument like he tried to make it to her, it comes off stupid because it doesn't make sense. And you can right. tell that he's just trying to avoid her. But to her, like, she really believed it. And so I think that's why, because Sheena keeps saying, you know, I don't regret anything that I did this season because I was living my truth. I was, you know, in love. I was, you know, I was happy. I was this, I was that. And I really think that that is true because she just listened to everything that Rob said. And Rob is the problem here. It's Sheena is saying too much. If Sheena would just stay quiet, she would expose Rob for being the problem. But if you read between the lines, I really think it's Rob just dragging her. Like,
she kind of said that on her podcast a little bit, that she said maybe a little too much. She was actually kind of making fun of herself. She's like, I mean, I know very like mildly I might have like gushed over Rob a little bit too much. Like, she's trying to be funny. I think she's finally getting that.
Yeah. And if she would do that, I really think that, we've seen the characters go through this, you know, before on the show where they are like just totally hated. And then usually, you know, production will turn it around and we'll end up liking them again at the end of the season. So hopefully Sheena will get to turn around. But just going back into a little bit of social media recap, I did notice that that Sheena this week, you know, was trying to get her reviews up on her podcast. And so she was offering to give away, what was it, a Skype call with her if you leave a review? Yeah.
Tickets to her show, but also one lucky winner will win a Skype call with her.
I thought that was funny. But in the comments, when she was asking for it, people were just like laying her out on Twitter, Instagram, everywhere. And she's made comments before that she doesn't watch the show and that she relies on her mom and sister to kind of like let her know what she has to get ready for as far as like what people are going to say. And I found that her sister was like fighting her battles in a couple of those forums, you know, talking when people are like, why are you copying Stassi? This is so dumb. Na-na-na-na. And, you know, her sister was doing the classic. She went to school for journalism. So this is exactly up her alley. You know, and then people are like, she went to school to do a podcast. Like, I don't think so. So she's been waiting for X amount of years to like finally get a podcast. Like, there's no, like, people were just like not letting her have it. And her sister kept fighting. God. And there was a couple of comments on there where I was just like, ugh. Oh, someone was like, Sheena, like, no one likes you. Like, you just go away or something. And her sister's like, everyone loves to hate her. You know, so I wonder if Sheena's kind of like embracing being hated
like
right now.
Villain role like Stassi does, like Stassi embraced being the villain. Everyone loves to hate her.
Yeah.
So maybe Sheena's kind of.
I mean, I feel like it's the only way that you could survive something like this. Otherwise, you would just like be so depressed and
you take it so personally.
Yeah. So I feel like once I read that, it helped me like, I don't know, like forgive Sheena a little bit, give her a little bit of a break, because it's like if that, you know, maybe that's how she's dealing with it. And she's going to come out of this the other side, hopefully. I don't know. And on her, I only listened to the first podcast, but I heard some glimpses of her being a little self-aware. So I have some hope.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, I didn't hate it. I listened again and, you know, to today's with Robbie and, you know, some of them were annoying. But, she does say more, like she's a little bit more real and, you know, straightforward.
Yeah.
The other thing I forgot, so when we were talking about how Rob doesn't, like, say I love you, Rob doesn't kiss, Rob doesn't hug, how Rob doesn't do this, did you notice later when they're in that, like, laser vagina scene, no, it's actually when they met with all the girls, and Kristen's like, so I heard you guys have, like, really nice vaginas, and Sheena's like, yeah, Rob says I have, like, a really pretty vagina, and Ariana's like, yeah, she's like, what, he's not a boob guy, and I'm like, oh my god. Not another thing. Like, now he's not a boob guy either. Like, I think he's just gay, maybe, and he's just using her as like a front.
I don't know, but I have found glimpses of Ariana just like giving it to us real, and this was another one where I was like, okay, as her friend, I'm glad that she stopped her and called her out right there, because if she didn't, then it's like she really isn't her friend. So by Ariana doing that, it like solidifies that they possibly really are friends in real life. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, thank you for at least acknowledging that this is crazy, you know, and especially her being her friend, you know. Yeah, but I was just like, oh my God. Yeah, she's crazy. Yeah, the list of things, like, we should do a pie chart of that. Like, what Rob doesn't like, what Rob does like. What Rob does like is, like, not calling her, not saying I love you, not her her butt, not, yeah, not kiss. Yeah, we could do a whole thing. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so, yes. Go ahead. No, go ahead, go ahead.
Gina and Jax kind of end it, and she's like, okay, well, whatever. I'm leaving, and she storms out, and she's like, happy birthday, fucktard.
Okay, what is with Sheena, like, storming out of things and being like, I have things to do?
Like, 3 times today.
Like, what the hell, Sheena? Like, what are you going to do?
I wanted to know why she left Ariana hanging at that meetup later.
Yeah, like, did you see Ariana's face? Was like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and then she's like, text me when you get there. I'm like, why? Where is she going? Somewhere dangerous? Like, what?
And, like, why did you even say text me when you get there? Like, she didn't give a shit about you leaving. Like, maybe she really did have, like, somewhere to go, but it still, like, came off very poorly.
Yeah, maybe Ariana's expression was, oh, shit, I don't want to be stuck here with people, you know, like, without your BFF.
Yeah.
She's like, look, I'm not here with... These aren't my friends. Why would I hang out with you guys? And so,
yeah.
I mean, Lala and Brittany, I guess, were still there. But anyways, so I guess the rest is just the romper sitch.
Yeah. So, like, and then I liked how, like, they show them, like, using, like, their little white Hooter plates and, like, putting wings on them. And Stassi's like, I wasn't going to eat bad because we're going to the beach later this week, which I'm assuming they're talking about Mexico. And then, yeah, so then the rompers are presented to Jax, and I thought they could have just got Jax a romper. I don't know why they all had to match him. Why not let Jax have a moment?
The Toms wanted to wear them, and they needed a reason and an excuse, because without it being a joke for Jax, if they were just to wear them, it would look like they were trying too hard to be funny. So this was for them. It wasn't for Jax.
Yeah, because I felt like they gave Jax the ugliest one, too. Like, how come, like, the Toms had, like stylish black pinstripe rompers, right, and, like, and Jax was a UPS guy?
Right.
Or, like a zoologist. You know, like, I felt like he was going to, like, take me on, like, a little safari or something.
Totally. I remember that. I don't know if you watch New York, but, yeah, someone showed up in an outfit like that, and Bethany was like, well, are we going to the zoo? When's my tour?
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. Totally
like that. That's so funny. Yeah, and Brittany's like, you look like an UPS driver.
Yes. So I tried to look up to see if, like, the rompers that they were wearing were still available, because T-Sandy did shout out where he got them from.
And Turk, and that they're $400.
Yeah, and unfortunately, they don't have Jax's UPS one, but I do think they have the other ones. And just an update for you guys, they are on sale right now for $298.
We are not doing a giveaway of that. I'm sorry. I'd rather buy a Kyle Chant diamond ring than give away a $400 romper.
Yeah, I couldn't believe how much they were. Okay, so
over to Kristen's.
Yes.
And Billy Lee and Stassi are walking up. Billy Lee's bringing some gluten. I'm bringing gluten-free brownies and bread. I'm a vegan. And trying to get her voice here. So we get there, and she tells Stassi and Kristen that Jeremy asked her out on a date.
Yes. Okay, really quickly, though, did you catch, though, when Stassi was, like, doing her confessional as they were walking up, that Stassi's like, I'm really enjoying getting to know Billy Lee. She has, like, so much, you know, she's been through so much, and I respect her so much. And it's so interesting getting to just know someone who's been on this journey like she has. And I have nothing bad to say about her at this moment in time. Did you hear?
It's like pause at this moment in time.
Yeah, it's
well,
like
now they put these caps on later, so she's leading up to they're going to have a problem.
Totally, but I was just like, ooh, like really, you're giving us that right now? Like you're throwing some shade in there. Yeah. So, okay, here's what my problem with this. What this is like a very touchy scene. I feel like this is going to be. I don't know. This episode just left me with so many feelings. But anyway, so yeah. So Billie Lee seemed genuinely excited to share with Stassi and Kristen that yeah. Billie or that Jeremy asked her out. And my only problem, like this is where I saw a little problem. And maybe this was editing. Maybe there was lots of other, you know, things said, and then this was said, or we didn't hear the whole convo because I don't know. But I felt like I wished that Kristen and Stassi maybe hadn't rained on her parade so quickly, because I feel like it put Billie Lee on the defensive and maybe explains why she went to go tattle on them right away, because they kind of snuffed out her.
In it for a minute,
yeah. Yeah, they like snuffed out her happiness. I don't know.
Like Lala said, yeah, squashed her excitement.
Yeah. And Chad walked in on that scene and he hadn't seen what Lala said. And he's like, why? She was happy. Why did they do that? And I was like, oh, I guess that is true. And you don't think about, you know, like if you're maybe she doesn't get asked out on dates a lot. Like maybe that was like a really big deal after her relationship and everything. Like maybe that was like a really exciting moment for her. And I don't know. Yeah. So, I mean, you could see it on her face that it was like, ugh.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if she says it too, and Kristen's like, well, like, you might just be, you know, down to fuck anyone. And she's like, that's fine. I'm down to sit. No, I just got out of a serious relationship, so I was like, okay, good. I'm happy you said that. You know, and yeah. I don't think he is. That's not the dude he is. Really, he's not. He seems more of a relationship kind of guy.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Side note. So. I was going back through. Every once in a while, like I go back through and like I'll listen to like our old. Episodes or especially like our interviews with like the cast and stuff. I listened to Face the other day, and the other day I was going to the doctor and I listened to Jeremy's interview. Oh my gosh, like I am so embarrassed of how I acted on that interview. Like the next one I do, I'm really gonna hold it together. Like I felt like anytime he said something, like I was so excited like to be talking to him and that we were sitting there with him. It was like such a cool moment. And he'd be like, oh yeah, I really like to surf. And I'm like, really? Like it was so embarrassing. It's like I should have just stayed quiet so we could all hear him talk. And I was like, uh-huh. Like, oh my God, Holly, stop.
Well, what I was bummed about is, and this happens on a lot of podcasts you'll hear when people go on, is that when you first get there, you sit and you chat, and icebreakers, and you talk, and then you realize, shit, we should have been recording this. So there was so much more that happened and that was said, but we were like taking a break, you know, or whatever, to make a drink, or we hadn't started yet. So, yeah, next time, basically like walk in the room and be like, hit play.
Yeah. I feel like we did that with him. And then that's when like things really started popping off. Like we had a great podcast and then we ended. And then it was like another hour of just like amazingness that we didn't record. Like that was I wish I could replay what was said in that room because it was a lot. It was so cool. But yeah, it was like, oh my gosh, cringe.
Okay, so what did you think when, you know, Stassi said he's creepy and Kristen said, yeah, you might want to go to a public place, and then they panned to the wedding. What were your thoughts?
Well, I was ready for this because I saw the tweets and everything of what was going on. So my immediate thought was, oh my God, that was creepy. And I know that feeling that I could see what Stassi was feeling in that moment. In that moment, and again, this I wasn't there, so this is just me reading into my experiences that I have had with this sort of scene, is maybe Jeremy was drunker than Stassi. He's having a good time. He thinks that everything is fun. But when you're not that drunk and someone is coming up to you and touching you like that, hugging you. I mean, Sarah and I can relate to this more than probably anyone in the world. We are not really fans of people coming up and like hugging and touching. Like, we like our personal space. So
yeah, we do a lot. Like, when I met Ariana, she like went in for the hug, and I like did a like a half body tap.
Yeah. We've never been the type to like have like a slumber party and like hold each other, you know, like that's just not our thing.
So I could see like Stassi's face would have been my face, and someone holding me and hugging me like that would have made me really uncomfortable. However, I wouldn't go and cringy. So my term is, it was cringy for me, but I wouldn't go so far as to say creepy, and certainly not predatory. The whole thing with Katie later on, I mean, I was watching the show with my sister, and she's like, you're using the wrong terms. You're abusing the term predatory. You're taking away when you're saying advocate for women that can't stand up for themselves, and his predatory behavior. Like, that was so out of line.
Well, I think.
But you got to be careful because you don't want to turn into, you know, Stassi. But she's like, well, tell them, you know, she's like, I can say it because just works at a law firm that handles, it's a non-profit law firm that handles exclusively sex trafficking, sexual harassment, women's harassment, things like that. That's all they deal with. And so her perception was that too, that, yeah, it's, first of all, you're at a wedding. First of all, he was like 21 at the time. And it's not like a stranger. Like, Stassi's in the wedding. He's invited to the wedding. There's some familiarity there. And yes, is it annoying if a drunk guy hits on you? Sure. I wouldn't go so far as, at least what we saw, he wasn't groping her. Did he hug her and was it uncomfortable? Yeah. But to say predatory, and we need to advocate for Rachel O'Brien and, you know, any other girl. That
yeah, but I would keep what Katie said out of it for a second. And just like, if this is only dealing with Stassi and that moment that we saw,
yeah,
I could see that she was uncomfortable, and they said that it happened to other people. So
yeah,
I feel like they need to give us a little bit more if they want to paint him like that. And that's not fair. So yeah. I mean, we'll get into it more when they go to dinner, but maybe we should just get into it all now. But I felt like Stassi did not want to bring this up. And I felt like Katie was very eager to bring this up. And Katie is the problem here.
We should just finish with since it's the same topic, instead of waiting, let's just go into that.
Okay. Okay.
And come back.
Okay. Okay. So, hold on. I got to get my notes for that. Let me see.
So, yeah. So, Lala brings it up, and Stassi looks shocked, and, you know, and Stassi really didn't add a lot here, but that's when Katie chimed in and, you know, said, you know, he was being predatory. I'm standing up. I'm advocating for the other women at my wedding when they can't right now. And so then Ariana takes that as oh, you're saying I don't advocate for women. And then Katie, like, adds fuel to the fire. She's like, you misheard me. She's like, did I stutter? I was like, oh God, you're just making things worse, Katie.
I felt like this was a classic case of Katie once again fighting. Not that this was Stassi's battle, because I really don't think it's fair to put this on Stassi as she was going to go head to head with Ariana about her brother. I did not get that feeling from Stassi at all. This was something that Katie wanted to bring up because of her hatred for Ariana. Like, she is never kind to Ariana. She always has like a harsh word. And I really think she does it to show off to the group. I think it's her little thing to do, which is strange because just last week we saw these two getting along. And so that was.
And she said when she's alone, she's great. But when she's around the other two, so that would make sense, that theory. Like, when she's around the other two, she wants to show off and like flex her muscles.
I mean, if my friend, I mean, I would say that Katie and Ariana are friends. If my friend spoke to me in the way that Katie did, like, that was unacceptable.
Yeah,
I was just like, whoa. And also the words that she used, you know, words are very powerful, and the words that she chose were, I don't know, like. Yeah, Yeah, hurtful. And I definitely see why Ariana felt like she was like pushed up against a wall and that production really hosed her here. Because there are certain scenes that I see in Vanderpump Rules where I feel like, and this happened in The Hills, this happened in every reality show that you can see, there are some scenes that I feel like that certain cast members don't know what they're going to, like what they're going to bring out, what ammo they're going to use. And I really felt like Stassi did not want this to come out, and she was, that's why she was acting the way that she was. And Katie, on the other hand, knew what was going on and went in for the kill. And I did not like that.
Yeah. And someone pointed out, in why are they, why is this conversation a year later? Like, if it was so predatory and like upsetting, why didn't Katie confront Jeremy or Ariana after it happened and said, look, you know, you got to talk to your brother and tell him to like tone it down or watch his drinking. Like, he gets too flirty or too aggressive or something. Like, no, you're choosing a year later on camera to kind of shame him. So while I'm not trying to defend or anything, like, definitely.
But I feel like production set that up to use that ammo from a year ago also. But here's the thing that no one's talking about. When Stassi felt that way, you know, like, it'd be one thing if like an acquaintance of yours was acting drunk at a wedding and coming up to you. But at this time, I'm just going to, because we all have Google, that's like another thing. I think that Stassi knew about Jeremy's past, and maybe it had not been addressed, you know.
Well, she did, because she tweeted about it in May after Sheena Lala and Ariana did that digital podcast. Then Stassi drug up Jeremy's past.
Right. So obviously they all knew about it. I'm just saying that could explain why Stassi was creeped out about Jeremy originally. And then when he did that, she had even a worse feeling or something. I'm just saying, like, no one is talking about that. And I think that's what Ariana is protecting. And I think that's what Stassi was trying to not bring up at this time, even though she tweeted that in May or June, whatever you're talking about. I think that's why they're all tiptoeing around the way they are. And they all look so pained and uncomfortable, is because they don't know how to address this. And so then Katie's approach was just so aggressive and so, like, I, as a woman, I didn't feel like, oh, thank you, Katie, for standing up for me as a woman. Like, that, it didn't make me feel empowered. It made me feel like she was setting women back.
Yeah.
So also, I'm really annoyed how the conversation all pointed to Stassi only. First of all, they blamed something on Stassi that Kristen said. And and it's like, Billie Lee, if you're going to go and gossip, like, at least get the gossip right. That bothered
me. Kristen and Stassi both admitted what they said, owned what they said, so I appreciate that.
Yeah. And then also, I didn't like how Stassi was like, so what did she say that I said? And Sheena's like, she said like that you said that he was like a murderer. And it's like, no, that's not what was said, Sheena. Sheena tried to like make it worse. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like I feel like we had two separate things happen in this episode. We had a scene that is a tiny little clip that we saw of Jeremy that, if we were to judge on that alone, I side with Stassi. He was creepy. And then we have another scene where he takes Billie Lee out, where it's the Jeremy that I know, that I have met, where he's so sweet. He's so
accepting.
Yeah. And so I feel like by... Yeah,
he said that. That was amazing what he said to Billie Lee. Like, whoa.
And I felt like by putting those scenes together, they're really fucking with us. And I don't know how I feel about that, because it's almost like they want us to be like, I side with Stassi, I side with Ariana and Lala and Jeremy. It's like, no, I really think it's two separate things. Like, I can applaud him for one thing, and I can be like, I mean, 100%, we have to take the word of predatory out. That was very wrong of Katie to say, and I don't see that. I 100% believe that Stassi can feel creeped out if she wants to. Like, that is that is her experience.
And creepy can be a word for cringy too. It depends on the intent behind it. So if he's saying creepy as in serial killer, that's a different creepy. Or creepy as in cringy, okay, I get you there. But just, you know, it depends on how you take the word and the tone and the intent behind it. So
yeah, and the bottom, know, yeah, and this is why I feel like this is dangerous. And in a way, I feel like when the horrible statements that Stassi made about her Me Too podcast, in a couple of the statements that she made, she was right. You know, where she was like, is this a male witch hunt? I don't think that Jeremy should be crucified for being creepy. Although, again, it wasn't our experience to judge. If Stassi felt that way, that's up to her. But I think that for people to be like, oh my gosh, he, you know, abused his ex-girlfriend, this, that, like, people are just like, I'm very uncomfortable with how quickly people take sides and just throw around these accusations that are just, I mean, turn it around that this is happening to you and how you would feel. And would you be able to handle things the way that Jeremy is? Would you be able to stay quiet on Twitter and not say anything? I mean, his whole reputation is just being dragged. And imagine how you would feel being Ariana, watching this happen to your brother and knowing more than we all know as viewers. You know, like, it would be very hard. I mean, my brother has done some shitty things and I still would stand up for him. You know, it's...
Yeah, of course. Well... So for those of you who don't know, you know, you Google him and this article comes out about, like, restraining order and abuse with an ex-girlfriend. Well, Ariana's told the story. She just tweeted it again. But you can also find those if you dig deep enough into some articles. And she said this woman admitted that it wasn't true, that she lied. So basically what happened, according to Ariana, is... in high school, Jeremy had a friend, and his mom, kind of like a stepmom mom situation, his mom started, like, kind of, I mean, his mom used, this friend's mom used to go to Jeremy's Little League games. And then at some point when he was 17, she came on to him and started a relationship, and kind of, like, he fell into that relationship with her. And, of course, it was hot and cold, and... there was, like, they were arguing and someone called the police. And so the police, since she lived there, had him leave. But apparently this woman has retracted everything that, no, there was no, he never touched her and that sort of thing. So again, there's two sides to every story. And it sounds like this woman retracted everything too. So I think often a lot of these people, you just Google a story. So then you assume it's true.
I wish though that when I saw that Ariana tweeted that too, and I wish that she would have worded it differently. And I'm surprised with how smart she is that she didn't. I wish that she would have said, you know, that the reports that are out there are, you know, put out by, like, Radar Online, and that's not the exact report, but also that the case was dismissed. Not that she I understand that she did retract her statement, but that is a little touchy because people who are abused do retract statements. So I didn't like that she worded it like that. I wish she would have said that, you know, that the investigation found that he was innocent or something like that. Like, I wish that the wording on that kind of bothered me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe we'll learn more about that.
But the other thing that I just have to say, and I have not confirmed this, you know, with Jeremy himself or anything, but it is public record that wasn't just his girlfriend. It was his wife. He was married to that woman, which, again, just adds another layer to the whole thing. I think that if, you know, my opinion on it is, I think that Jeremy got out of a very crazy situation where, I don't know, I really think that he came to LA for a fresh start, and I think that he is working through a lot of things. And
yeah, I mean, Ariana said in her thing that they tore their family apart. It was a really disturbing time.
I mean, I'm sure, because I mean, it sounds, I don't know, at that age, you are a child. Like, even when I was 18 years old, like, there's no way that I would be mature enough to be in a marriage with an older person.
38-year-old, yeah.
Yeah, and kind of put in that role of, and no offense to Jeremy at all, but definitely, like, he still seems very young to me. He still seems like he has...
Well, he is. He's 23.
Yeah. I mean, so it's just once... I don't know. I feel so bad because I feel like I don't want to just defend Jeremy just because we know him and he was like so nice. And right away, you know, when you just meet someone and you can just tell that they are like the vibe that they throw and stuff like that. That's not enough for me to defend him and be like, oh, no, he never did this to this ex-wife of his and he never did anything to Stassi. And he never, because people can do shitty things. I've done shitty things. I mean, have I done things that people could call the police on? Yes, a lot. You know, and if people called me out for that and labeled me from things that I did, I don't even know.
I mean, well, let's just say, let's take him out of it. Let's replace Jeremy at the wedding with Spassmy Grimm or Eric the bartender or Max. Let's say it's Max.
Okay.
You know, we've met Max. We don't know Max.
Right.
Would we feel any differently? We'd probably still say the same thing. Well, Stassi was creeped out. She has a right to feel that way. And would we feel awkward with the hug? Yeah, but that's because that's how we are. Like, most people love hugs. You know what I mean? Like, or would we just say, oh, they were drunk. They were the drunk, annoying guy that was hitting on everyone. Well, you know what? I posted something. I'm like, you know what? There's a whole movie based around that, around guys coming to weddings and hitting on all the single girls, the wedding crashers. People didn't have a problem with that, you know? So, you know, whether it was Jeremy or Max or Spots Negrum, you know, I think I would have the same reaction. So I don't think I'm, just because I've met Jeremy, I don't think that's affecting
I really think that it has to do with they knew that there was something more to him. There was, you know, a reason why he was coming for a fresh start. And I think that made the girls a little nervous, you know, whether that's wrong or right. You know, that's one thing. But I think that adding that layer is why Stassi made those.
Well, and rightfully so. Maybe they didn't know the truth behind the story, and maybe none of us do. But I mean, rightfully so. If they did Google those articles, then yeah, we should all be like, have our radar up and be like, I'm not sure about this.
Right, right. You know? Right.
So I can get that.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, what this episode did to me was just, it made me just sad and confused and also a little disappointed with the direction that the show is going, where it's like, this isn't like our fun Vanderpump Rules sort of episode. Like, this was some, like, if you, like, let's say that that was your first episode that you ever watched of the show. You have to know a lot of history and follow them very closely to know what is going on in this episode. Like, if you, I think because Sarah and I and all of you guys listening, we know so much about these people and how their lives are intertwined and where, when they came to LA and why. It's like, if you didn't know that, this would be so confusing. And I just felt like, it's like, we need more info, and I felt like a lot of the stuff they were painting of everybody was unfair. It's like, dude, this can ruin people's lives. I don't know. So I can't imagine how hard this was to deal with in real life. Or, you know, like, did they tell Jeremy, listen, we're going to go this route with you, so get ready. Like, what happens when you go through this?
Yeah.
So I'm really curious. I hope we get to talk to Jeremy when we go to Sur or something and check in with him, because I just wonder, like, yikes. Yeah. I mean, and Stassi also, like, I can't imagine being Stassi for last night's episode. Like, people are, you know, totally taking sides, and, you know, it's like, ooh, the whole thing is just really awkward.
Yeah. Well, should we go on to some lighter stuff?
Yeah.
Some shock.
Yes.
It made my jaw drop.
Yes.
We go in the baker and the cappuccino maker with Sheena and Brittany, and this is where I just couldn't believe it. I'm like, am I dreaming? Is this fake news? Brittany says no to a shot.
Yes.
She offers her a shot, and she says, no, I can't drink anymore. I'm going to throw up in front of all these people. I'm like, what? You can't take a shot, Brittany? Oh, my God.
I thought that you were going to say that your jaw dropped when Sheena said, I want you to be this happy. And she pointed to
her. Oh, I have that next.
Oh, my God.
She's like, you know, she's like, the D and Jack's clear things up. And And then, of course, she switches it over to Rob. She's like, I know Rob is in love with me. And he wouldn't say that. But so Brittany's like, you know, whatever. She's like, so, but you're good with Rob now, right? And Sheena's like, violently, like, yes, yes. And she's like, I just want you to be as happy, you know, as this. I just want you to be this happy, pointing to herself. And this is my favorite part, the next line, when she goes, but in the meantime, we can still go out with cute boys and have fun. Okay. The word still, that implies you have been. Sheena also confirmed that Jack and Brittany did break up.
I caught that. I was like, ooh, Sheena, were you supposed to say that? Because I thought that, you yep. know.
Mm. And Brittany kind of confirms it because verbatim, she goes, oh boy, Jack would really love you if he finds out about that. Okay, finds out about what, Brittany?
Yeah.
So I think they went out, and I do think she hooked up or something, because still, and then Brittany, Jack would really love you if we found out about that. So the key words here are still and that.
And also that, I also found it strange that Sheena kept pushing the agenda that a lot of her friends are interested in Brittany and ask yep. about her. I feel like my friends don't ask about my friends that are in relationships, you know, but you may ask about someone who, you know, is constantly bouncing around and they're on, they're off, on, off, you know, someone that you know that there's like maybe a chance for, maybe you would ask about that. So yeah, I felt yeah. like that was very telling. And when Sheena said that, I was like, whoa, oopsie. Like there's some confirmation we were looking for.
I love that moment. I'm like, yes, I hope still and that did mean what I think it means.
Yeah,
and
so
Brittany has her little
yeah, go ahead.
Confessional where she refers to herself as a really hot girl. And there's going to be other guys who really want me. So either buck up or sit down, Jax.
Okay, and for this scene, too, I was happy where I was like, okay, well, at least Brittany knows that. Like, we've all been saying it,
yes.
but I was happy to hear it come out of her own mouth. Like, okay, so she does know that she has, you know, something going on. So that made
and
me happy.
She has lots of options, and yeah.
Yeah, that was good. And then this is what, you know, Sheena, again, tries to kind of pump up this new guy, Adam, and, you know, how he... How
he would treat her like a princess, just like Rob.
Oh my God! Yes,
just like Rob treats me.
Yeah,
I don't know what kind of country you're a prince and princess of, but I don't want to visit that country if my boyfriend doesn't say he loves me or kisses me or doesn't like my boobs or.
It's just like
I don't want to go to that country. I don't want to be royalty in that country.
Yeah, it's okay, just it's bad.
All right, so. Tom, nothing's happening except for, you know, Schwartz is shoeless and they're digging a basement, which I found odd in Los Angeles. There are no basements. What'd you think?
Yeah, same. I was actually kind of shocked at where they were digging that because I don't recall seeing that. So
it's a fake scene, a fake construction scene.
Yeah, I don't know. Cause I walked right where they were. So I'm next time we go, in a couple of weeks, I want to go back there and look, but,
yeah, let's go to both sides.
Yes. I was dying at Schwartz's slide situation. Now I yeah. wore those type of sandals when I was on swim team. That was the only time I wore them. And I do know that they have some like very nice, like I've seen some people get Gucci slides like that or, you know, whatever. But I feel like it's just such a ode to how lazy he is. Like your foot cannot be more relaxed in that damn shoe. You know what I mean? Like, it's just so yeah. him and like his dumb face, like just the whole thing. So yeah. So the Toms roll into the construction site, and I mean the construction site looks the exact same as when I was there, and I have to say I was wearing flip-flops at the time too, so I was just as bad. But it was dangerous. There was nails sticking out. I had my 3-year-old with me and she wanted to come up and I had to like hold her back because there was literally like planks of wood, and it really was dangerous. Like there was like It was a full on open construction site. And I just think it's funny. It's just so Schwartz to do that.
So Sandoval said on Watch What Happens Live, you still think like end of May. So I guess she did renovate Sarah in 3 days. So I guess she can do miracles. So we'll see.
Yeah, well, we should see a big, big change when we go. If we don't, then something's wrong.
So I liked when they're talking about, like, Lisa's saying, you need to research and go to all the bars in Los Angeles and we'll use that as a baseline. And T. Sandy's like, oh, I already know. Like, I want to create a drink with, like, dry ice so, like, smoke comes out of it. And I just start laughing. I'm like, yeah, because we haven't seen that before, Tom. Like, super original. It's now, as Lisa would say. It's very now.
Yeah.
If now was, like, 12 years ago. But, okay. I mean, I love a smoking dry ice drink, but I wouldn't say it's groundbreaking.
Yeah, he's like, I have this really good idea. What if we put a little bit of cotton candy in the drink? That's like, dude, come on. Like, yeah. I also loved the scene when he was like, okay, I want to make sure that the ice wells are in the middle right here. Like he like stood there like he would be bartending and like yeah. Lisa and Ken look at him like STFU T Sandy, like leave us alone. And Lisa like just will not give them like they can't even give one opinion without her being like, we've done this a million times. Like she can't help herself but say it every single time.
Yeah. She said, I've designed more restaurants, but not to me is.
Yeah.
So what do you think? Anna doesn't cook? Sandoval doesn't cook?
Yeah.
Does top ramen count in the microwave? It's hot.
She's like, I know how many times your microwave gets turned off when you turn on the air, so.
That's true. So I guess she probably has a really good point. They probably eat a lot of cold food.
Yeah.
If they want to stay cool in their apartment.
Yes.
So over to Sheena's house with Lala, and Billy Lee, and I love this part. The production team really knows how to troll Sheena.
Uh-oh, sorry, hold on 1 second. Hold on, sorry. Okay, and we're back, guys. Sorry, I got a phone call on my phone that I'm talking to Sarah on, and I couldn't, like, decline the call. So, awkward.
Yeah. So I was just saying, we go over to Sheena's house, and I love how the producers, like, pan around her apartment, and all the canvases with Shay have been replaced with professionally taken pictures with Rob. Now, my question to you guys is, how many of you guys are dating a boyfriend? And at this point, they've been dating, what, for, like, 4 months? How many of you guys take your boyfriend and get professional couple shots taken? Like, don't you just do that once you get engaged?
I mean, if I had access to it, I totally would do what Sheena does. But yeah, it's strange. It's really, really, really weird. I also like, again, this is like another personal issue. Like, remember back in like the 90s when like people went and got those pictures taken at the mall where they like stood in like a prom pose? And no, like kind of like the more chola look. You know what I mean? Like where like they kind of like I'll post a kind of like Sheena's picture, like from her. There's a picture of Sheena. Anyways, like it was like this thing that you would go as like a couple and you would take pictures. They were horrible. Oh. But like I never got to do that. And like now every time I see someone like get couple photos, I get jealous. But
yeah, I think it's super cheese unless you're in like a photo booth or you're engaged.
Totally.
I mean, you can take a selfie, but like professional pictures, that's just weird.
Yeah, or like you take a picture like when you're at the zoo together or yeah, like when you're like doing like oh, this was such a fun date that we had or oh, remember this trip? Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Studio.
Yeah.
That's the JCPenney's photo studio.
Yes. That and like and right, like, again, that's my issue with Rob. It's like Rob, so you were down to take professional photos with Sheena, but you won't, you know, like he won't do all these other things. Like it's so like I see why she was confused. He did some things with her, and some things he won't do. Like it's just strange.
Yeah.
Okay. So. I guess Sheena's pulling outfits for Billy to wear on her date.
Yeah, and Mom was like, oh, the boobs are so amazing. They're, like, really supple. And, like, she's like, and I know her pussy's bomb, too. I'm like, yes, can we stop? But then Billy Lee starts telling them what Stassi and Kristen said to her, and they're just, like, not having it. They're pissed. They're like, they said Jeremy, like, hits on every single girl, and she's like, didn't hit on me. Well, I was like, he hasn't hit on me. So I like that they did that for him. Again,
I had a problem with the fact that they only brought up Stassi on this, and that I feel like the comments that she made, it'd be like this actually is like a real life situation. It would be like if I came over to your house, Sarah, and I was like, oh my gosh, our friend, like a mutual friend that we know, and if I said something that that friend did and it was in line with like a behavior that that friend normally exhibits, you know, or like, oh my god, you know, it's like,
yeah,
I don't know, I felt like they were just ready to jump on Stassi in this situation, and it was,
yeah, and well, I was like, God, I think she's finally turning a leaf, and then she said something like this. Yeah,
this is right. Where I was a little disappointed with Billy Lee. I wish that she would have, you know, let them say what they needed to say about Stassi, but then correct, you know, been like, but, you know, whatever. And, they, you know, I don't know. I felt like she kind of, she really stirred the pot there. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I really see that this is just like a fight between the two sides. Like they are drawing the sand in the line. And
he did stir the pot and maybe not give the full story, because Stassi and Kristen said, no, we ended up saying we'll have a great time and get laid. And she didn't share that part with Lala and Sheena. So I have two sides. She did stir the pot. However, maybe she realized she needed to, because up until this point, Billy Lee's role on the show has been kind of boring. So at least this got her in the mix of a little conflict.
I also think that it is her role to stir the pot. I think they send her in to get it going. You know, I mean, everyone, yeah, that we have to have that person on the show. Otherwise, you know, it can't work. But I don't think that Billy Lee did anything wrong. I think that she did what everyone does when they're talking to their friends about something that happened. You know, she maybe explained it wrong, and but they should have been able to work it out a little bit better than they did when they all go to that dinner. That was disappointing. But I did think it was funny when Sheena was like, yeah, like I think that, you know, Jeremy and Billy are good. Like they're friends already and they both smoke weed. Now, that was like one of my big questions, because we see on Jeremy's social media how much weed he smokes, and also we saw it in person, and that was like one of the things where I was like, does Billy Lee smoke pot? Because if they don't, I don't see how this union is going to work. But to hear,
I'm pretty much convinced, like, does anyone in Los Angeles not?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true. But I mean, Jeremy like really gets down.
And it is annoying, because I dated a guy that was like morning, noon, and night, and I couldn't hack it. I was like, and this is before vaping, and so I'm like, if I smell that fucking smell one more time in my life, I'm like, it makes me gag. And especially when someone's like morning, noon, and nighting it, and in like a closed space, like it's not outside, you know, so it's like, ugh.
Oh, it's, so, yeah, it's a lifestyle. Like they start smelling like that. Like it's just, yeah, it's gnarly.
Yeah.
So
I go to the sandbox, and Lala goes with Billy Lee, I think, kind of to help, you know, have a pregame drink to calm her nerves. And it's also kind of a nice icebreaker for when Jeremy gets there.
Yeah.
So Jeremy comes, and it was a little awkward. Like, I felt their first date awkwardness. I was like, oh, and that would be anybody's first date. Like, first dates are just fucking awkward.
Yeah. And also, remember when we first met Jeremy? Like, it is, you're just like, because you don't really know what to expect. Well, this isn't their first time meeting, obviously, but there's, just to speak a little bit on Jeremy's behalf, there's something about him, though, that is so calming and, like, such a cool, like, vibe about him. So, like, although I could tell that Billy Lee was nervous at first, as soon as he got there, I could tell she calmed down. And that's kind of how,
chill.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt too. I was like, okay, like, what's this guy's deal? I felt a little uneasy. And then it was like, oh my God. Like, it was,
I thought he was going to be really shy, and then he wasn't at all. But you know what I realized during this episode? I was like, God, when I rewatched it and his voice, I was like, God, he reminds me of someone. And I'm like, I've heard that voice before. I've heard that voice. And then even his smile, I was like, I figured out who it is. He's Ethan Hawke. He actually kind of looks like Ethan Hawke. Like, they still have the cute little boy smile. And then his voice sounds just like it.
You're right.
So, I don't know, guys, go watch Reality Bites. He totally, and actually even in that movie, he kind of reminds me of Jeremy, but go watch Reality Bites. He is Ethan Hawke reincarnated. Well, he's still alive, but
I don't think I've ever seen that movie.
Oh my God, it's so good. It's one of my favorite movies.
Oh, okay.
I basically lived that movie in real life.
Oh, now I have to watch it.
There's a scene where the girl has, like, her dad's gas card, and so she uses it to, like, you know, buy beer and buy food at her gas station. That's how she lives. And then it's Winona Ryder. And then she figures out, oh, she needs cash, too. So then she, people that pull up to the gas station, she offers to pump their gas, and she'll use the card and just, like, get cash from them. Maybe she'll give them, like, a break or something, and then she gets cash, and it's like, yeah, sadly, I haven't done that with your gas, but I used to charge beer, and, like, I would just get my food. I'd go buy butter and eggs and cheese, whatever the gas station had, that's how I lived.
Oh my gosh, yes, yes.
So, yeah, go watch that movie. It's Janine Garofalo, Ethan Hawke, Winona Ryder, Ben Stiller is in it. It's so good. Oh, and the guy from Minnesota that's in everything. I love him. Not to forget his name. Anyways, go watch. But that's what he reminds me of. You've seen Ethan Hawke and other things, though, haven't you?
Yeah. I can't name what, but I know exactly who he is and what he sounds like.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's basically their date, but she's like, it's hard for me because it's hard for me to date because I'm trans. And he's like, so fucking what? He's like, you're a woman now and you do deserve to be treated as a woman now, and anyone else can just fuck off. And it's like, God, who are you, Oprah?
Yeah, and I loved how she smiled after that. Like, you could tell that is exactly what she wanted to hear. I also was really respected the fact that she put herself out there in the first couple minutes, saying, like, I felt like she was just, like, reiterating, like, this is going to come off bad, but I felt like she was like, you know, just so we are on the same page, like, this is what we're working with right now. And are you okay with that? Like, she didn't say it like that, but I appreciated that she brought it up in case he did want to talk about it or something. And then his response was just like, I was just like, oh my gosh, like, it was really, really cool. But I appreciated both of their openness about it. Like, it was, because, I mean, I've never seen someone go on a date, you know, like that. And it was for them to both be so open about it and for him to react the way that he did. I mean, I don't think you could have done that scene any better. Like, it was perfect.
Yeah.
So now we go over to James and his dad having a beer.
Like, at this place where you get, like, a drink you would get at Mardi Gras, like the neon-colored frozen machine drinks, and James gets it with a shot on top, but it looks so toxic.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love those drinks.
I mean, that's what they're for the crowd, the young party crowd.
I'm so,
that's what I drank in my, like, early 20s. And
well, and it's,
that's when everyone starts drinking.
Well, and those drinks are such a waste, like, on calories and everything, too, but they're so good. I'm really embarrassed to say that I just tried the new drink at Taco Bell. It's a Skittles drink.
It's what?
It's Skittles, like the candy Skittles. Yeah. It's so good. It's a red Skittle.
Ew. I don't even like Skittles. I'm more of a Starburst girl. I'm kind of old school.
Okay, yeah. It was, like, so bad. It was good.
And red, too. The biggest, like, remember red dye used to be banned from candy?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, you do. I'm really happy that you said that.
Yeah. No, I, yeah.
Like, there was no red M&Ms when I grew up.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, it was just orange, yellow, green, and brown. There was no blue either.
Oh, wow.
They didn't have those in the 1940s. Basically how I feel now, since you
yeah.
didn't know that. Okay.
Okay, this scene didn't really speak to me in any way. Again, it just made me kind of question, like, him and his dad's relationship, and I could just tell that he really was seeking his dad's approval, and James, to me, is... James, you know, is like an emotional guy. You can tell that in how he fights and how he talks, you know, about people. But I think he really is more sensitive than we all think, or I think we all know, but he's sensitive. And I'm not
all like, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not sure that his dad is like that.
Right. He seemed much stiffer and, well, that is more English. They're not emotional.
And I could tell, like, his dad, like, if you read in between the lines, he was saying that he misses him too, and he misses seeing him all the times, and he knows that things are different. Then James, in his confessional, he breaks down about just how much he misses his dad and everything, and that was really heartbreaking.
And I should preface this, because we have English users. I didn't mean that as an insult or a stereotype, but Lisa said that, like, you know, you have that stiff upper lip in, like, English. So it is a stereotype. So sorry, Lee. We've got others in the UK.
Yeah.
I meant it as, well, I kind of think of it as a compliment, but it does explain, like, he's just more, you don't wear your emotions out on your sleeve, but James's mom kind of does. So he's half and half, you know? I was thinking about, you know, when James is explaining how they lost everything when they had the falling out with George Michael and all the money went away, and he thinks that's why they got divorced. And I was thinking, when all the money went away, remember Kirsten accused James's mom of stealing your credit card to go use it for bucks? Like, maybe she was really desperate. Like, maybe she had this lifestyle.
Wait, hold on 1 second. So Sarah just said, that cut out a little bit, Sarah. Sarah just said, remember when Kristen accused James's mom of stealing her credit card for Botox?
Right. Like, she had this lifestyle she was probably leading, and then all of a sudden couldn't afford it anymore. So maybe she was a little desperate. Maybe she needed to do what she needed to do to keep her face right.
Yeah, definitely. So I hope that we get to see more of that. It was interesting I always like meeting the families. I feel like it gives you like a little look into the character a little bit. So next we go back over to Sir, and Lisa's like walking around the restaurant, checking on tables. And,
did you notice the key thing she said? She gave a shout out to my blackberry cobbler.
Yes. Yeah. She's like,
I really should order this. It's
she's like, I recommend the blackberry cobbler.
It's not beer creepy at all.
Yeah. Now, I forgot, what was your review on the cobbler? Were you a fan or no?
I was not really a fan.
It wasn't
disgusting.
I wasn't either, but I'm more not a fan of their chocolate cake. And I would order the cobbler before the cake, because the cake tastes like nothing. And the cobbler at least has flavor.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
Yeah.
It turned into a goopy mess because it all melted into a big, like, soup when they came over and they were filming our table and I was talking about it. So,
yeah.
No, I wouldn't order it again, but it wasn't gross. And just, you know.
Yeah, I definitely, like, I'm not sitting here like, I am craving that cobbler. I've got to go get it. So she
mentions how Max got a $2,000 tip the night before. So that was impressive.
Okay, who the hell left Max a $2,000 tip? Like, that's wow. Like, I'm just, I could see, like, $200 or, I don't know, even $500, but $2,000?
That's crazy.
That's crazy. I mean, go Max.
I hope he, like, tipped out the bussers and the bar back.
I'm sure.
Otherwise, I just wouldn't mention it. Why? Was on a credit card.
Yeah.
So then Ariana kind of talks to Lisa about what Stassi said, and, you know, she's first Lisa, like, was talking about Jeremy and how he saves her, and she passes him a couple hundred bucks. Now, see, here's where give Max a couple hundred dollar tip, but maybe give Jeremy $2,000. You know?
Yeah.
She gave him a couple hundred dollars. I'm like, oh, okay. I mean, that's nice, but.
Yeah. Okay. And then also, Ariana mentioned something that I had never heard before, and we need like our listeners to deep dive this and figure this out for us. Did you hear her mention that Stassi sent a letter saying that she was going to burn down Sir?
I remember that from like season one, season two. I don't remember the specific scene, but I remember that being talked about.
So do you think this was about like, how dare you buy my sex tape for $900? I'm going to burn your restaurant down?
Maybe. Yeah.
I need more info on this letter. And
yeah.
And again, I felt I just have to just say it just because it's something I noted again. I felt like, again, it wasn't fair that Ariana started to Lisa saying Stassi saying mean things about my brother. You know, Stassi and Kristen did. Like, I just Stassi just had to take the brunt of this. And I just don't. Ugh, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. And then what do you think it was up with Ariana tweeting that thanking Kristen for her support on the filming of this
no
event?
No one really understood that. Everyone questioned that because they show get up and try to say, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. So I don't know. Maybe Kristen chased her out of the bar and like tried to comfort her or be like, look, this wasn't my intent. Katie was out of line.
But don't you think in the way that Kristen said that, like, and Ariana tweeted something about thanking production, thanking Kristen, and thanking, who'd she think, Lala?
Yeah.
I really think this is one of those moments where production sprang this on them and they didn't know this was coming. Or something.
Or she thinks Bevel Production, maybe they edited, maybe more was said about his past. And
yeah.
They edited out.
Yeah, that's true. Because I felt like when Kristen got up and she's like, I don't know what's going on. It's like, how do you not know what's going on? You were there. You're the one who said it. Like, I thought it was strange that like she was like, I don't know. I don't, you know, definitely something more happened.
Yeah, they cut out something intense that they thought might be too controversial, maybe.
Which is good. I mean,
destructive to someone's life.
Yes.
And, you know, unless it's like you have a record and it's a proven crime, it really, you know, you destroy someone just based on the accusation. So maybe that's the case. It's like, look, these stupid articles, nothing ever happened. There is no crime. There is no record. And so to discuss it, you know, that's why it's like being on a jury. Don't read the papers because that's not fact or truth. But it plants a seed in your mind to think that it is.
100%. And I just, I can't, again, I can't imagine living this and then having to rewatch it on television. I mean, I'm talking even everything that Jeremy went through or didn't go through, you know, just all of it, like them just having to like rehash this must have been really horrible. So Lisa mentions that, she misjudged Jeremy and, I thought she was going to say because he's such a hard worker and she really like didn't value him as an employee as much as she should have. Cause that's the truth. Every time we've been there, like besides, you know, absolutely meeting him, whatever, like, he really does work really hard.
Yeah. So go over to Jax's and, I mean, let's just talk about each scene instead of flashing back to Katie's, then Jax's, then Katie's, like, do you want to talk about Brittany and her phone call first or Sandoval confronting the witches?
Let's do Sandoval because we've got like just heads up. We got like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Let's talk about T. Sandy. So T. Sandy rolls over to. Oh, my gosh. Sorry. My battery's dying. Yes.
And, yeah. Wants to confront the witches of Leo about what they said about Jeremy.
Yeah. And. Someone made this comment on Twitter, so this isn't my own individual thought, but I thought it was so true. Why are the witches of WeHo always crafting? They're always
scrapbooking, painting bikes. Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine calling you up, Sarah, and being like, hey, I'm going to bring over some perfume. We're going to make perfume. We'll be there in 20 minutes. Like, I mean, I would actually like doing that, but I don't think I'd be organized enough to actually like get the stuff and do it.
Wallpapers, they were wallpapering.
Yeah, it's just like they're all like I think it's cool. I'm just like, whoa, like they really, you know, have hobbies.
Yeah, so Sandy kind of lays in. It's like, why would you say that? It's not true. And Stassi's like, it is true. Like he's like, he's been through a lot. Like, and then Stassi's like, well, then he shouldn't act creepy. You know, it's like, ooh. And
well, the other thing that I thought was strange was she's like, you know, when Jeremy started like flirting and hitting on, and Sandy like stops her and he's like, you? Like, he's like shocked that like Jeremy would hit on or flirt with Stassi. And it's like, you know, and that, I don't know. I was most offended by T. Sandy's actions and Katie's in this episode, because he came flying in there, and although he's defending, you know, his girlfriend's brother, it came off really gross, I thought.
Yeah. But then, you know, Stassi immediately, she's like, why would I make that up? And she kind of storms off saying, I'm so tired of protecting men. Schwartz is bouncing between them, looking all nervous. Oh, guys. But then I like Sandoval's line, because I want to hear when he's like, look, you start making up lies, then I'll start telling truths about you. So, like, I want to hear those truths. So, please, Sandoval, start telling truths, because I'm here for it. I want to hear it.
Yeah, I felt like they all definitely got, like, a flash of, like, scared in their eyes.
They're
Yeah, but I felt like that was, it was definitely, like, a threat. You know, he's like, you guys, you know, get your facts right, and da da da. And I felt like Stassi was saying a fact. She said, you know, he was creepy at the wedding. You know, that is a fact to her. And that, just saying that, really set T. Sandy off for some reason. I really think that there something way bigger happened, and everyone is like scared that it's going to be brought up. And that's why we're seeing like this like panic in all of them. Because that makes more sense than what we're seeing, because it just doesn't seem like that big of a deal that some, you know, stuff went on at a wedding. It seems like, again, like they would have addressed it already, or I don't know.
Yeah. So then we go over to Jackson Brittany's, and he's playing his drums, and she calls her dad, and she's like,
well, sorry. I have a comment about the drums. For electric drums, you know, he's saying it's awesome. Like, I can play, and Brittany doesn't complain. The neighbors don't complain. But he wasn't playing with headphones on. Don't you have to hear it by having your headphones on? And that's why no one can hear it, because you hear it in your head and they don't? Because, like, why would you just bang on, like, a little plate and, like, sit there, like, staring at the wall? Like, that actually is a drum kit that's just not making any sound.
Yeah, you know, because he definitely dropped a lot of coin with that Hooters party and then this drum kit. And I thought she did something else. And it's like, sure, that drum kit.
The trip to Mexico she planned too.
Oh, yeah. It's like, Brittany, I feel like it's that, you know, new money where it's like you just burn through it because you think it's like an endless supply. Spencer Pratt talks about, you know?
Yeah.
How he just burned through all his money.
With Brittany, crystals.
I don't want to watch that. You might want to start a savings account because this is limited.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, so I'm sorry I interrupted you. Go on with your Brittany.
No. So she calls her dad. He's like, oh, I was just out picking blackberries. And she's like, oh, another reference. She's like, I miss blackberry cobbler. And I'm like, well, go to Sir. They have it. You're so lucky. So she calls him, and Jax is kind of eavesdropping and looks petrified. And she tells her dad what happened. And I love her dad because he's like, well, hon, that doesn't surprise me. He's that type. He's got no control. He just can't help himself. And I'm like, and he's like, you got to grow up and get serious. But by his age, it's probably too late. And she's just like panicking. She's like, yeah. What I found interesting, it's like, okay, Brittany, you're 29. You should know this by now. She goes, I was just hoping he'd change for me. It's like, you're 29. You're not 17. guys don't change, women don't, people don't change for someone else. They change because they want to change. No one's going to change for you. If you don't like, if there's problems going into it, you either accept it or you don't be in that relationship. But he's not going to change for you. I don't know when you're going to learn that.
And everyone has told her. Everyone has, like, this is just a case of, you know, and especially in, when she has that conversation with Sheena coming up. I felt like we've known that, Brittany just has made up her own mind about what she's going to do. But it's true. She really is, you know, listening to her heart only, and she's making some bad decisions right now, and she knows it, but she can't help it. It's really a strange thing to look. I feel like we've all been there before where we've made bad decisions, but Brittany is doing it on television, and it's pretty horrifying.
And she's really not listening to or reading into the stuff he's saying.
No.
But I truly think it is like, look, he's trying to almost break up with you because first he flips it on you, but he ends up saying, look, if you're not happy, maybe you need to move on. Like, that's how Jax breaks up with people, because he doesn't. He says shit like that.
Yeah, you know? So she ends the call with her father, and Jax comes walking in with his, like, tail between his legs, and he's like, so, like, I was pretty good in there. Do you hear me? And she's like, I can't really hear, and plus I was on the phone. And he's like, oh, I might have heard, like, a couple of words that you said. And she's like, oh, did you? And she's like, just promise that, like, she's always doing this to him, too. She's like, just promise you won't do that again. Promise, Jax, do you cross your heart and hope to die? Promise? And he's like, yeah. He's like, yeah, I promise. And she's like, well, just please. And he's like, enough. Do you ever stop? Like, oh, my.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Do you ever stop? Oh, my God.
You just don't stop. When he takes that tone with her, I absolutely lose it. And I start getting so angry at Brittany, because it's like, Brittany, we can't keep going through this with you. Like, if I was her friend, I would say, Brittany, I cannot support you in this. I cannot be your friend until you are not with Jax, because it's like, it's to the point where it's like, he is abusive towards her, verbally abusive. And it's like, I can't. You're not perfect either. Like, are you kidding me? Like, who does that? And she's like, I would never cheat on you. And like, he's like, yeah, but you do a lot of other shit. You know, it's like, dude.
And she's like, I know I'm not perfect. Like, sometimes I forget to take the dog out, or I take too many shots, but I don't fuck my friends. You know.
Yeah, it's like,
again, she's defending herself.
It's like not comparable to anything that, you know. It's just like, oh my gosh,
he's horrifying.
Yeah, I wish that maybe they would show us these moments that she claims to have with Jax where he does treat her well, or they do laugh all night, because I've never seen it. I feel like I do not see what he is giving to her at all. Other than, you know, her being with Jax Taylor. And that's not, like, I don't know why she's proud of that. It's like,
they laugh all the time, 24/7. And I'm like, well, then wouldn't the cameras catch some of that?
Yeah, it's like, I've never seen Jax, like, crack a joke, you know. Or if it is, it's, like, about Sheena or something. Like, it's never anything funny. Like, it's not, I don't see him having, you know, it's like, do they sit there and, like, laugh about, like, the Saturdays are for the boys, and she's like, ha, 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 ha. I don't know. Yeah, something just doesn't add up. So I was really hoping that we were kind of done seeing those Jax scenes, you know. And for those of you who didn't watch Jax and Brittany Take Kentucky, if you didn't watch that, maybe this is new to you, seeing how he treats her. But this is Jax. This is what he does to Brittany. And we're all supposed to support this and be like, yay, can't wait for your Mexico trip. Like, go, let's go celebrate Jaxie Poo.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
So, which is why I appreciate the next scene when Sheena starts talking about how, you know, Jax doesn't deserve to be in a relationship with Brittany. And so they go over, they're out with Lala and Sheena and Ariana, and they invite Brittany, Adam, /Negrum, and Jeremy, and Sheena really wants Brittany to know how hot she is, and that guys like Adam have been asking about her. And then Jeremy rolls in holding hands with Billy Lee, and they look like they're happy, and they're like bopping down the street. So that was cute.
Yeah. Again, I don't think there's anything wrong with Sheena. I appreciate that Sheena is trying to let Brittany know her worth. Yeah, I don't know. I definitely, you know, it's like in the back of my mind, it's like, is Sheena doing this to get back at Jax? Yes, I think she is. And she kind of admits that she is. But at the same time, I'm kind of like secretly rooting for it, because it's like, Brittany, yeah, get out there and like go have a good time with normal people and see what it's like to not be around grumpy man Jax.
And like, don't live in denial. Like, this is where Sheena was real. She's like, I just don't want you to live in denial like I was. She's like, you want to be me, 32, divorced, no kids, no progress, and cool, I get to start all over again. And then she said how she used to wake up and lie to herself every day saying things were perfect. Okay, Sheena, if you were more real like that what you just said, people would, like, not come at you as much. They would have sympathy and empathy and, you know, respect your vulnerability. And, like, you know, I think she does feel all those things, but she just can't admit them or share them.
So. Yeah, I feel like this should have been Sheena's year to, quote unquote, play the victim. Like, no one could have said, stop talking about being sad about your divorce, or stop talking about not having kids or progress. Like, this is what she...
And it is hard to start over again at 32 if that's what she wants. It's like the clock is ticking, you know?
Yeah,
I mean?
Yeah. And that's why...
you have to date someone for a couple years, get engaged, get married, have kids. Like, that's putting the pressure on.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that is what she wants. And I think that's why we're seeing her panic the way she does with Rob and everything. So, I appreciated this from Sheena. Also, I did think that she's doing it again. I think she doesn't again see what she's doing in this. She's wasting this year too on Rob. So I think she needs to slow down and listen to herself a little bit, because she sounds like she knows what, you know, she understands. So, this was a sad scene for Sheena, I thought, and also for Brittany, because Brittany opens up that she's like, but I love him. And it's like the dumbest thing where it's like,
but I love him, mama.
It's like, yeah, you probably do. But is that like, don't you love yourself? Like, you have to love yourself more than Jax, because Jax does, like, he's not treating you well. Like, you have, for yourself, don't do this. You know, it's just that to me is, it's just a tragedy. Like, Brittany, like, you really do deserve better. You can get better, you know?
And like, what does he offer her? Because, like, as we see in the previews, she's saying, like, he's threatening to move to Tampa for a job. It's like, you know, and you're not even considering her, and just expecting she follows you wherever you go. It's like, what are you offering her, Jack? Like, what are you giving to her?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. So.
And he would just be like, what's she giving me? She doesn't even make me a sandwich.
Yeah. So that's pretty much it for this episode. Yeah. And then the previews for next week looks really good. They go to Mexico, and it's everybody, which is always for good TV.
Do you think Billy Lee and Jeremy are going?
I don't think so, but maybe, I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, it looks good, and I hope there'll be some drunken antics and stuff that happen, and I can't wait to see it and podcast live.
Yes. So we'll be back, you guys, next week, and we'll break down the episode. And again, if you haven't joined our Facebook group, check it out. It's Vanderpump Rules Party. And another shout out real quick. Thank you guys so much for leaving reviews. That really helps us so much on the charts on iTunes. This is a free show to you guys, so we appreciate you guys taking the time to do that for us. That's so cool.
Yeah, even if you don't want to write anything, just hit 5 stars and it takes 2 seconds. Our
rating has been raised a little bit. We dipped down there for a little bit, and so we're making a little comeback. I'm so excited.
Yeah, we're like rated, yeah.
Yeah, and we have 111 or something reviews right now, which I think we had like 50 before or something, so we really have gone up.
Cool.
Yeah, so...
tweet us at VPR Party Podcast, or you can tweet me at Pumpers Nation, and follow us on Instagram, Vanderpump Rose Party. Leave us a voicemail, or if you ever want to call into the show, we can arrange that. So let us know. DM us, email us at VanderpumpRulesParty@gmail.com.
Yes.
Or call us 805-VANDER-8.
Yeah, 805-VANDER-8. And also, if any of you guys are in the Cali area, we are attending the Watch What Crappens live show in Irvine. If any of you can come down, we'd love to meet up with anybody and talk to you. And I know I think there's a lot of people going, so I'm super excited.
Yeah, let's meet up. Let's plan something either before or after. And it's at the Spectrum, so there's tons of places to meet up.
Yeah, totally. Cool. Okay, thanks,
and then
you guys.
Also, we wanted to go meet up in California and maybe Minnesota or wherever else at some point. So we'll plan those going forward. But in the short term, watch what happens.
Yes.
April 13th. So.
Okay, we'll see you guys next Monday. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.